Senator Brad Hawkins. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Jeff. Great to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
Well, good to have you. I know we're in the waning days of this session. I'm sure gratefully for you. Let's talk about some of the remaining bills that might be out there.
Yeah, so we have we have kind of an interesting process because we have a major deadline coming up tomorrow. And then after that, we're trying to get everything done until April 23rd. And some of the bills have already successfully passed the House or the Senate. Some of them need to go back to their opposite chamber for what's called concurrence votes. So after this April 12th deadline tomorrow, the opposite houses are going to take up the bills that were amended in the other chambers. So it's kind of an interesting process, but basically, in order for bills to advance to the governor, they need to be approved by the full legislature in their exact same form. And since we have two chambers, it's very often that bills get adjusted slightly in one or the other. So that's kind of what we're going to be doing after April 12th. But there's a lot of bills kind of like that related to either drug possession, police pursuits, housing bills, individual bills. And so those bills are still sort of up in the air. And some of them, for example, a housing proposal, which I know is a big priority of House Democrats, and a lot of House Republicans voted for that bill, too. That bill is somewhat struggling to get through the Senate.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk, if we could, about the assault weapons bill. That's got the attention of a lot of people, and it seemed to go pretty much along party lines. So where do you see that going?
Well, it's interesting. So I think there are major constitutional issues with that, and that's why many of us, including me, voted against it. But it passed the Senate by a vote of 27 to 21. It was pretty close, but there were issues with that. There was an emergency clause that is currently attached to the bill that would allow the governor to sign that bill into law. Well, when the governor signs it into law, the law immediately goes into effect rather than the normal 90-day period. And that is, I believe, intended to guard against a citizen referendum. But basically, I think it's really going to have to be resolved in our judicial system at this point. So what we anticipate is the governor will sign the bill, the attorney general will be there to support him, but then it will immediately be challenged in court, and we anticipate probably the courts will issue a stay, you know, and I'm not as familiar with the judicial process as I am the legislative process, but after that, the law basically is not able to go into effect, and then it will probably go through the federal process, probably the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, whatever that process is. I don't know if the bill would actually make its way all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, but we believe that it could get struck down on constitutional grounds related to the Second Amendment before it gets to the U.S. Supreme Court.
I know there's a lot of concerned retailers. We interviewed one earlier this week, or rather last week, regarding their inventory, where they're not even going to have they'll be stuck with inventory, and that sort of thing as a result of this legislation if it passes.
Yeah, well, the legislation did pass, and well, it's one of those bills that will go, because it was a House bill, it came to the Senate, it will go back to the House for a quick up and down vote and then go to the governor. When the governor signs it, it does become law immediately, and so it will be interesting. It will definitely cause some changes in activity and on the business side and things as well, and a lot of questions. But then I believe that the lawsuits are coming on that, and so then once this stay is probably issued, this is just legal speculation, you know, and then the courts, then it'll, at that point it'll be up to the courts. And so people sometimes wonder, well, why are the courts involved? Why does the state Supreme Court strike down some citizen initiatives and all these different things? Well, we have this checks and balance system. We have these co-equal branches of government, and we are ultimately ruled by the U.S. Constitution, and in our state, the state constitution. And so we can pass any law we want, but if it's not consistent with the Constitution, and that's up to the interpretation of the Supreme Courts, then those laws that get passed get struck down. And so some people have always sort of anticipated that this sort of legislation is a constitutional test. And so obviously that will have to play out in court. But it could be over a year before anything is finally determined related to the constitutionality of this measure.
I know you're getting involved, as you have been, in another hydrogen project here. But before we get to that, let's kind of wrap up some of the things that are happening in Olympia we should know about.
Yeah, so I think the major issues, you know, we have the budgets that are still in play. A lot of the House has finally passed its budget proposals. The Senate has passed its budget proposals. We have the three budgets, operating, transportation, and capital. And so there are differences in those budgets, much like there's differences in these individual bills that I've talked about. But with the budgets, it's kind of a longer process to iron out the differences. And so that process is underway right now that both chambers have passed all their budget proposals. And I would anticipate within the next week, those final budget proposals will be released for the public to review. And then all three of those budgets will need to be approved by the scheduled last day of session, which is April 23rd. And then same with those major pieces of policy, as well as all the individual bills. But for example, the drug possession bill related to the Blake State Supreme Court decision, the police pursuits bill, this housing proposal. Some of the firearm bills have already cleared, but some of the other sticky, more controversial bills are still sort of in the mix. And what makes those police pursuits and drug possession bills, and even the housing bill, challenging is you have Republicans voting against it and Democrats voting against it, but you also have a mix of Republicans and Democrats also voting for it. And so it gets really difficult to kind of count the votes on all those things. Plus you have, as we always have with any piece of legislation, when bills come to the Senate floor or the House floor for a vote, they are open to amendments. And you have, for example, 49 members in the state Senate, 98 members in the state House of Representatives. We all have different opinions, and so we're all authorized to offer amendments and debate those amendments. So it gets to be a kind of a complicated process. But now that most of the bills have cleared and the budgets are being negotiated kind of behind the scenes, there's just really a handful of major priority bills that they're trying to work out and try to get those passed before tomorrow's deadline, April 12th.
Sure, that's a push. We have Earth Day celebration coming up this Saturday here in Chelan. I know you've been on the cutting edge of hydrogen technology. Where are you with that? I think you're getting involved in another forum coming up, yes?
Yes, I'm very excited to announce I will be participating in a forum at Pybus Market tomorrow. No, excuse me, Thursday. Got to keep my days straight here. Thursday, April 13th at 5:30 p.m. at Pybus Market. The Wenatchee World is hosting that. They've kindly invited me. The general manager of Douglas County PUD, Gary Ivory, will be in attendance for that and featured for that. So I'm excited to be there to talk about hydrogen. Hydrogen has certainly gained popularity in recent years, but certainly at the state level too and nationally. But a few years ago, I partnered with Douglas PUD to sponsor and pass a bill to allow public utility districts to produce and distribute hydrogen. And hydrogen is a gas, H2, and I wasn't good at chemistry, but I've learned all this. But it's created through a pretty electricity-intensive process where you use electricity to separate the hydrogen and oxygen molecules from water, and then you end up with hydrogen, which can be used as a clean energy, clean transportation fuel. And Douglas County PUD wants to use their surplus hydropower from Wells Dam, which is not far from the KOZI family there, and use that surplus electricity to produce hydrogen and then be able to market that hydrogen. And hydrogen vehicles are, especially the bigger rigs, are getting to be more popular and more viable. So they maybe would be able to utilize, you know, have a hydrogen fueling station to be able to fuel utility rigs or semi-trucks. And some of these semi-trucks can haul, can get 300 miles to one fueling. And so we could eventually haul our apples from Wenatchee to the port of Seattle on a hydrogen semi-truck. And then rather than the battery electric semi-trucks that would require recharging all night long, the hydrogen semi-trucks can just be refueled with hydrogen, much like they do gasoline, and then come on back. But they don't, they're zero emission vehicles, the hydrogen vehicles. So it's pretty exciting. I look forward to talking more about it at Pivus Market on Thursday.
Yeah, maybe we'll even see some hybrid hydrogen EVs. Could be.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see kind of how the technology emerges. It certainly seems that the battery electric plug-in sort of Tesla model for passenger vehicles seems to work really well. They certainly have a head start on that. But we do believe the hydrogen vehicles have a really viable and good application with the heavier duty commercial vehicles, definitely semi-trucks, some of these potentially transit buses, school buses, trains, airplanes. They flew a hydrogen airplane just recently out of Moses Lake as a test. And again, these are zero emissions equipment, even forklifts and some of these other opportunities. So I think as our state and nation transitions to cleaner fuels, hydrogen is definitely in the mix. And what's cool about the hydrogen opportunities at Wells Dam is they'll be able to kind of utilize their surplus power for a benefit.
Indeed. Well, we'll be excited to catch up with you next Tuesday for an update on the legislature and what you learned at that forum. It'll be a great great time. So we look forward to it.
Yeah.
All right.
Sounds great, Jeff. Thanks
Senator
for having
Huckins,
me.
Thank you so much. We always enjoy it.